And this is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that Twin Cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my light beside the golden door. Emma Lazarus.
But for people who were dragooned here, brought in chains, but for the indigenous people, we are all immigrants. And indeed, the wretched refuge of the teeming shores to be brought here. But we have a new administration. And President Trump ordered an end to the Obama-era executive action that shields young undocumented immigrants from deportation, calling the program, quote, an amnesty first approach, end quote, and urging Congress to replace it with legislation before it begins phasing out on March 5th, 2018. I do not favor punishing children, most of whom are now adults, for the action of their parents, Mr. Trump said in a written statement, but he said the United States is a nation of opportunity because we are a nation of laws. The statement was released shortly after Mr. Trump, who had called the issue a personal dilemma, dispatched Attorney General Jeff Sessions to announce that the government will no longer accept new applications from undocumented immigrants to shield them from deportation under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, known as DACA. Administrative officials said that the roughly 800,000 current beneficiaries of the program brought to the United States without papers as children will not be immediately affected by what they called an orderly wind down of former President Barack Obama's policy. Well, we're joined now by Oscar Chacon, co-founder and executive director of Alianza Americas, formerly known as National Alliance of Latin American and Caribbean Communities, an umbrella of immigrant-led and immigrant-serving organizations based in the United States of America, dedicated to improving the quality of life of Latino immigrant communities in the U.S., as well as of people throughout the Americas. And Jiajia Wang, the organizing and advocacy director for the American Friends Service Committee Immigrant Rights Program, whose goal is to achieve policies that respect the rights and dignity of all immigrants, including a fair and humane national immigration policy. The Immigrants' Rights Program's successful integration of legal services, advocacy, and organizing has made a dramatic difference in the lives of immigrants, ensuring that immigrant voices are heard in policy debates by assisting immigrants with challenging immigration cases and by changing the narrative about immigration issues to influence policy. And our dreamer, Isaac, a Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, a DACA beneficiary, has agreed to be with us to tell his story and put a human face on those who dream on this country, on this American of African descent, we are particularly pleased that he has agreed to be with us. And I thank all of you. And I want to begin with our dreamer, with Isaac. Perhaps you can tell us your story to help set the pace for the rest of our discussion. SOS this morning on responding with humanity and consideration and welcoming to our immigrant sisters and brothers from every area of the globe. Isaac, thank you for being with us. Your story, please.
Thank you, Mimi. My name is Isaac Opong. I'm a DACA recipient. I am 29 years old. I came from Ghana to U.S. age of 15 years at 2003. I live at Newark, New Jersey. I was undocumented with 3 kids. My life was always in a bad and poor condition and fears of police eyes and deportation. And I can't even just go to work to put food and water on the table for my family to eat and drink. I always stressful and depressed, but I've been saved for more than 5 years until DACA came to my point and I qualified. And USCIS Immigration have approved my DACA 2 years and renewed when it expired 2019. DACA came to my life and released all my stress, depressed. DACA make me bring food and water on the table for my family. DACA protect me from deportation. DACA gives me a job and education and stay without fear. DACA make me pay my taxes all the time. DACA, I feel upset about DACA. I'm not comfortable about how many brave young people in this country have DACA will be affected. About 800,000 to 1 million brave young people. This is a lot of impact and weight, and we can contribute to our state taxes without fear of deportation. Ending DACA is cruel and un-American. We must pass a Clean Dream Act to protect these brave young people. Washington and congressmen, DACA is real. Moving forward with DACA. And President Trump's idea about DACA is a huge backwards. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to share my life story with you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being here and sharing your talents, your aspirations, your love as a member of this country. And Shaja, you were the one who introduced me to Isaac. And Isaac would seem to me to be an icon for all of the young dreamers. I saw thousands of them lining up where I work at the Legal Aid Society to apply for DACA. Talk about what the significance of the DACA program is for people like Isaac and the other people that have come and sought your services with the American Friends Service Committee to stay in this country and to become documented and not subject to deportation to countries that, by and large, they don't know at all.
I think, you know, I'm still really shocked by President's announcement and this policy. I think it's ill-spirited and that, you know, it basically closed the door of America to a lot of young people that deserve to stay and that have made this country their home. I can tell you stories that I heard yesterday, you know, how DACA gives them a glimpse of hope. It's the beginning and should be the beginning of their bright future, not the end. This is a basic standard and or protection that we can provide to these young people. And even that, you know, the president did not want to continue with the program. That's extremely disappointing and has devastating impact on the young people. And we're talking about more than 1 million people being affected, the young people and their families and the future young people that could qualify for this program. ISAC is right. You know, we need a permanent solution. The U.S. Congress can help in this whole, you know, broken system. So once this protection or a shield of deportation from deportation is taken away, these young people will be or would become undocumented again, and that, you know, they could be subject to detention and deportation. And we all know that the local, federal, and, well, basically county government and private prison company have been profiting from this detention and deportation machine, and that they could be playing a role in, you know, making this happen. There's no doubt that the president has a lot of relationship with different companies. Also, recognizing that this is more than just a simple program, and it's a small solution or relief of a bigger problem, and that with all these factors and reasons why we are as a country still maintaining or keeping this big, you know, detention deportation machine, we as citizens must understand the reasons and then and understand the human impact of DACA being taken away and of the Congress not passing any kind of meaningful immigration policy.
Oscar Chacon. So the president, he walks it back a little bit with a tweet, but he throws this grenade in the middle of this inept Congress, this contentious, even though he controls the party. What should we understand about the politics of Trump's position, and what does it really mean to toss this grenade of DACA to the Congress? And we'll get in, of course, to the broader discussion about people who are here on TPS status and what that means for Haitians and Salvadorans and Hondurans as well. There's a whole trilogy of groups that are immediately affected within the next months by the possibility of detention and deportation. Oscar, your concerns about and your understanding of what just happened politically with the DACA program.
The announcement represents a major accomplishment by what we understand to be the most extremist, racist leaders within, you know, this particular administration. It's important to remember that the very person who made the announcement, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, as well as Stephen Miller, these are individuals who come from a truly extremist perspective on the question of immigration to the United States. I mean, they frankly believe there should be no more people coming in, either immigrants or refugees. I mean, that's their basic point of departure, because they believe that the immigration of the past 30, 40 years has actually been some sort of intoxicating factor into American society, an American society that they believe should be primarily white, primarily European. And therefore, when you look at who the newcomers have been over the past 40 or so years, you can clearly see why they despise so strongly the very people who have become part of the mosaic of cultures, races, identities that make up the United States of America. I believe that the announcement again represents essentially an important step in that direction. And by telling us all, telling the country that this should be something Congress should address, they are essentially saying something that is hard to believe, because this is the very Congress who has systematically neglected their duty in terms of constantly reforming U.S. immigration policies in order for it to be in sync with the reality of human mobility, the reality of refugees displacement in today's world. The real solution should be the passing of a Clean Dream Act bill that specifically addresses the situation of the young people that were the intended beneficiaries of the deferred action that President Obama took back in 2012. However, we believe that the real intention of this move is to create a situation where a sort of compromise should be reached, knowing perfectly well that just a few weeks ago, President Trump embraced very openly and warmly a proposal that was filed in the U.S. Senate, essentially seeking a major restrictive revision of U.S. immigration policy in what is known as the Cotton-Perdue bill. That's a bill that would, from the get-go, say that they want to cut back U.S. annual immigration numbers from about 1 million today to 500,000 in a matter of 10 years. And they also want to cut back significantly the number of refugees from about 110 or so thousand a year to no more than 50,000 a year within a short period of time. So we believe that this is the agenda that they are actually pursuing. And again, it is important to be fully aware that both Jeff Sessions, Stephen Miller, and a few others, I mean, that are part of their advisory team, again, come from the very forces that about 30 years ago set themselves in motion to come to a point where we are today, which is to essentially restrict immigration. And again, the suffering that this may cause on recipients of DACA, or, for example, the case of the Haitians, which just a few months ago were given a six-month extension on their TPS program, and is now scheduled to end early in January, is perhaps, I mean, the beginning of this particular set of events that we are seeing now, and we must do everything we can to ensure that these protections remain in place. We must also do everything we can to prepare for a push for legislation that addresses only these injustices that are built into our immigration system today, but we also need to prepare for adequate legal protection for people who are going to, again, be affected if these programs indeed come to an end and nothing better comes in to replace it.
I want to go back to Isaac and ask what you've expressed quite beautifully and quite movingly, what being a beneficiary of DACA has meant to you. What does it mean to live under the threat of detention and deportation? And what would it mean to you? And what do you think the loss of this country would be if people like yourselves, who have only known this country, were forced to leave it? Isaac?
The DACA, I've been benefiting from DACA because I was under the shadow when I didn't receive no DACA or no eligible or approved for migration. So my life was so risky, not comfortable at all. But since I met a DACA in my life, the whole entire life started to be changing and make me feel more comfortable, bring me from under the shadow into the light. So now I can go to take my medication. I take medication, I go to work, and then I pay my rent before I can't afford even my rent every month.
What are you studying?
Right now, I'm trying to obtain my high school diploma and go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Adult school education, so I can get my high school diploma and continue my education to college. So I'm studying all the subjects. I'm studying English, math, science, algebra, African American history, biology, chemistry, all the subjects.
What would it mean for you if you were sent back to Ghana, a home that you barely know?
If they send me back to Ghana, it'd be a very tough situation for me. My life wouldn't be come back. I can't come back to my life anymore, normal life anymore, because about 90% of Ghanaians don't have a job. So how am I going to live my life? That means my life is going to be jeopardy. So why I'm still here, why I can't stay here and protected by the government of the United States and give me every opportunity as equal right to everyone, every human mankind, instead to send me or send the millions of people going back home, what they're going to do over there? Since they've been staying here for many years and become a member and family and friends of Americans. So we stay here, we live here, we go to school here, work here. So here's our home. We have nowhere to go, no place to go. So if you send me, that means you're going to jeopardize my life more than anything else. And I can't do nothing in Ghana. Here I know. Here I live. Here I stay. So that's the only thing I can survive. My life is here, United States of America. So it has more benefit to me for DACA. If they took the DACA away, my life would be jeopardy completely.
Georgia, you work with many, many people like Isaac. Your thoughts on the imperative of continuing, and how do you see taking on the struggle to continue the DACA program and to also respond to what Asghar has raised, which is the jeopardy to the Haitian population who were given TPS status after the devastating earthquake, etc. And I know that there is similar jeopardy to groups of Salvadorians and Hondurans. Can you talk about that as well?
Yeah, I can certainly take that, because, you know, my agency actually provides legal services to a lot of Central Americans who got temporary protected status back in the late 90s and early 2000. That is the Hondurans, Nicaraguans, and Salvadorians. My program actually started by working for and working with them when they left their country because of war, because hurricane disaster, and decided to settle New Jersey. So it's been over 17 years. They've come to this country. They have developed roots. They have had families. They have children born here, or they raise their children here. And the country conditions have not become better. And the truth is that these temporary protected status, they don't allow people who have been here for 17 years to become, to get permanent, to obtain permanent residency. That's the fallacy of the system, is that it does not have any flexibility. It's basically counter humanity, that we need to revisit the system. We need to fix the system. Because it's likely that president may do something to temporary protected status people, and that if so, and they lost their status, they have to return home. They're returning home to a country that have really not too much to return to. They will have to decide whether to leave their children here or take their children back home with them. So I think it's a very inhumane and cruel decision that one has to make. And then our government will be forcing them to make that decision. And that's absolutely not acceptable. So, you know, we are looking at, you know, terminating all these temporary programs and then shut the door again to immigrants who have made America their home. We all need to really question whether that's okay.
And Oscar,
one thing I can add, Mimi, is that it's important to keep in mind that the justification that is often given for why we should become heartless, hard on immigrants, is because it is said that immigrants take away jobs from Americans. I mean, this was one of the arguments raised yesterday by Jeff Sessions. And I really believe that the measures to harm immigrants like DACA recipients or TPS recipients are really better understood as distractions from the problems that affect, broadly speaking, almost everyone in the United States when you think about the fact that economic inequality has become such an incredibly harming reality, where most of the wealth generated in a country like ours and the income that is actually earned goes to a very small percentage of the population. So there are indeed economic pains that broad segments of the population are feeling, but they have nothing to do with the arrival of foreign nationals into the country in a nation that has an immigration law that has not really been updated in a wise, truly compassionate manner since at least 1965. And so it's important to understand that you could well treat all these people, namely DACA recipients, TPS recipients, badly, but that will not cure, you know, the problem of economic inequality and the fear that that generates in broad segments of the U.S. population. And so it's important for us also to call out these rather mean ways of trying to use the opinion of people who may well be hurting economically because of this reality of economic injustice that we live, by essentially punishing people who are also victims of that very same system.
And
may I have a little bit of contribution, please?
Please.
Absolutely.
Okay. My contribution is, I know America is a nation of immigrants. And the immigrant is the one built a nation. And immigrants contributing economy to rebuild economy and bring infrastructure to the country. So there's more ways. Even a sea always want to rain or always receive a rain in the sea. So the immigrants are human. Immigrants is a human. And human always is produced by nature, as God, creation. So you can't reject human. And meanwhile, you need economy to rebuild. And economy can't bring by itself without human. So who's are the immigrants? Some like me, I'm here, I'm immigrant. I work and pay my taxes to rebuild the economy of the of my state. So if you more creation jobs available, nobody take away no jobs. Job is everywhere. And even the job will be full of our hands. And that's what we're looking for, the good leadership to promote jobs, creation, education, reinfrastructure the nation. So many things are available to do or focus on it. Not about those who've been already received or been approved. Our state of our governance of the immigration for DACA has been already approved. Why we're moving backwards instead of moving forward? And a lot of things we need to move forward to achieve it and not moving backwards. Because backwards, there's nothing good in backwards.
In the last 30 seconds, Oscar Chacon, what is to be done? How do we support our sister and brother immigrants, people like Isaac, who is an American of African descent? What is to be done?
Well, I mean, I really believe that there are three main tasks that we need to undertake in the short term. One is to insist on keeping these populations protected. Bottom line is the president does have the authority to provide protection, just like President Obama did. Any notion that this is unconstitutional is simply not true. Number two, we need to fight pressure very strongly for legislative solutions that are specific to these particular cases and not bargaining chips to try to get away with some sort of immigration reform that would only make the law as it is worse than it already has been for many, many years. And number three, we also need to be thinking of how do we seek legal protection mechanisms that allow these populations not to be left out in the cold if these programs do come to an end as they are now scheduled to be. So those, to me, are like critical tasks that we need to undertake immediately.
And we'll continue to explore those and how they unfold and how we can get involved. We've been speaking with Jiajia Wang, the Organizing and Advocacy Director of the American Friends Service Committee Immigration Rights Program, Oscar Chacon, co-founder and executive director of Alianza Americas, and our dreamer, Isaac, a deferred action for childhood arrival, a DACA beneficiary. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.